Hi, friends. I'm Constance. I'm 15 years old. 2 years ago, a billionaire family adopted me. That's how I got this life I couldn't even imagine having. Now I'm going to tell you all about it, both the good and the bad parts. I'm sure you'll find my story interesting. Please don't forget to like the video. My dad left us when I was a baby. My mom used to tell me all the time that he wasn't a good person and we were better off without him. But I still grew up imagining greeting my father at the door when he came home from work at the end of the day and receiving a huge, loving hug from him. My mom didn't have a profession. She'd work any job she could get. When she got sick, she was unemployed for a long time. Because she couldn't take care of me, she left me at a group home when I was 9. But every week she would come and visit me. She used to say, "When I'm doing better, I'll get us a nice house. We'll live together again." But she lived on the street, and us having a life together seemed like a very remote possibility. The next year, my mom stopped visiting me. I got worried because that wasn't normal. I asked for help from the social workers at the home. I found out that my mom was hospitalized because her health was deteriorating. After a while, when I heard that she had died, I was devastated. Even though I was very young, I was aware that my mom had lost her life to poverty. They took good care of us at the home, but we all wanted to get adopted, to have a family. Kids who would fit their criteria would be recommended to prospective adoptive families by the management of the home. The families would look at their options, meet the kids, and then make their decision. Families usually preferred kids aged 4 to 5. Kids that age were easier to look after because they weren't babies anymore, and they were still young enough to be raised by the family as they wished. I, on the other hand, was 13 years old. Because I hit puberty, my prospects of being adopted had further diminished. In fact, they were almost non-existent. One day, the director of the home called me. She said I fit this one family's criteria, and she wanted to introduce me to them. This family had an 8-year-old son. They didn't have any other children. They were worried that their son would be all alone in the future. They wanted an older sister who could support him and decided to adopt a girl my age. This was a huge surprise for me. They were about to walk into the director's office. As I was waiting for them, I was so excited that my feet were shaking. Thankfully, our first meeting went great. They told me they really liked me, and they could definitely see me as a wonderful older sister for their son. When the director said, "Constance, gather your belongings and say goodbye to your friends. Your new family lives in another city. They will be leaving with you today." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Finally, I would have a family too. There were 3 luxury cars waiting for us in front of the home. We got into the one in the front. The other 2 followed us. This was going to be my first plane ride. I'd seen the airport only in the movies. I told my new mom, "Are we going to buy a ticket for me from the airport?" And she smiled. "You don't need a ticket, honey," she said. I figured out what she meant by that when we arrived at the airport. My new family had their own private plane. I, of course, didn't yet know that they were billionaires. Their fortune came from gold and silver mines in different spots around the world. I could only dream of such a rich family adopting me, but thankfully, this wasn't a dream. The director at the home had said we were going to another city, but the plane landed not in a city, but on an island. This island in the middle of the ocean, of course, belonged to them. There was just this one house on the whole island. It was the biggest building I'd ever seen. I didn't even know they were called mansions. There was a ship docked on the shore. Do I need to tell you? That too belonged to my new family. Soon, I would find out it wasn't called a ship, but a yacht. I wasn't aware of it yet, but I'd started living the life of a billionaire. This is where I met my brother Parker. He didn't seem like an 8-year-old at all. He was dressed exactly like an adult. I was going to be his sister from now on. I made a move to give him a hug, but Parker held himself back and offered his hand coldly. I shook his hand, saying, "Hi, Parker, I'm Constance." Parker looked at his mom with a displeased look on his face. "Constance?" Apparently, he didn't like my name. His mom, I mean my new mom, turned to me and said, "Darling, people have more modern names in our social circle. Rather than Constance, shall we call you Jasmine from now?" I knew my name was old-fashioned, but it was my mom who had given it to me. Still, I couldn't say anything. I just nodded. There was a large number of staff in the house. Cooks, drivers, butlers, maids. In addition to all this, they told me I had a personal maid, too. This person came and said, "Let me show you to your room." She was a girl 4 or 5 years older than me. Her name's Mary Jane. When she led me to my room, I couldn't believe my eyes. Even this room was screaming, "This is a billionaire's house." There was a bed 5 people could sleep in. There were armchairs around, paintings on the walls. I was a 13-year-old girl, but this room looked more like it belonged to the Queen of England. I wanted to get some information on my new family from Mary Jane. She was hesitant at first, but then she started talking to me when we became friendly. The family spends a few months every summer on the island. Because my new mom doesn't like staying in hotels, they have houses in many cities, each one more luxurious than the other. The yacht I saw on the dock is the smallest they have. The one they most frequently use is at least three times bigger than this one. Every time Mary Jane said something, I kept blurting out, "Really?" She smiled and replied, "Really?" I learned such fantastic things in that conversation, and I probably said "really" at least 20 times. The next day, something strange happened. There was a screening room in the house. Parker and I were watching a movie there. Mary Jane came and told me my new dad was waiting for me in his study. When I went in, he was with another man in a suit. My new dad said, "Welcome to our family, my dear. Let me introduce you to our attorney, Mr. Owens. We have a couple of legal matters we need to take care of." When the attorney said, "Jasmine, I drew up some contracts regarding certain matters. I'm asking you to read and sign them, please." I was really surprised. After this, the attorney gave me the documents one by one and told me what each one was about. "This document is for the name change. We'll file a petition and your name will be changed to Jasmine. This document is an agreement about inheritance. In the future, you will be a part of the will, but your inheritance will be smaller compared to Parker's. This contract is about social media usage. You're prohibited from opening TikTok or Instagram accounts and sharing information about the family in any other way. Finally, this contract is for your allowance. Every month, you will be given an allowance of this amount written here. You will not be able to demand more than that." After telling me all this, the attorney offered me a pen and said, "Please sign under every agreement." I didn't like this one bit, but I wasn't in a position to argue. I had to sign them all. We stayed on the island for about a month. It was nowhere near the life I dreamed of. Parker and my new dad were distant to me. My new mom would talk to me now and then, but it was more in the lines of, "How are things with Parker? What kind of things are you doing together?" Unfortunately, my replies were not the kinds of things she would want to hear. I wanted to be closer to my new brother, but it wasn't possible because Parker had built this really high wall between us. My new dad had some work to do. So one morning, our private jet arrived on the island and took us to London. After a while, we went to Tokyo. We stayed there for only 3 days. Then we flew to the city where the family actually lived. We were always traveling on our private plane and staying in our own homes, whichever city we went to. When I was younger, I wanted to travel to different countries. But these trips were not at all like what I imagined them to be. Because of security reasons, we almost never went out. When you are inside a house, doesn't really matter if you're in London or Tokyo. 2.5 years ago, the mafia attempted to kidnap Parker. Thankfully, bodyguards stopped them. The kidnappers confessed that they tried to take Parker and asked for a ransom of $50 million. After that incident, security measures were enhanced. It was deemed dangerous for Parker to go to school and decided that he should be homeschooled with private tutors. Now that I was their daughter, the same security measures applied to me. I was devastated when I found out about this. I was feeling incredibly lonely. I was looking forward to starting school, making new friends. If I was homeschooled, then the only kid around me would be Parker, and he did not like me at all. I'd always wanted to get adopted, to have a family, but this was definitely not what I had dreamed of. At first, I loved that my new family was very rich. But then I saw that everything was good in moderation, and that included having an excessive amount of money. I think Parker wasn't happy with his life either, but he wasn't admitting it. My new mom went to another city on a business trip. I thought about going back to the group home without telling her, but then I thought that wouldn't be right. I waited for her. When she came back, I went to speak with her. I told her Parker didn't feel the need for a sister and he would never accept me as one. She thought I was right. "You're right, honey. Unfortunately, this was an unsuccessful attempt. You're free to do what you want to do." I told her I wanted to go back to the group home, but she suggested something else that changed my life in an instant. I was going to go to a private boarding school. They would obviously cover all my expenses. After high school, if I decided to go to college, they would give me a scholarship. Right now, I'm at a wonderful private school in Switzerland. Since it's a very expensive boarding school, the families of the kids here are pretty rich. But as far as I knew, there are no billionaires among them. Meanwhile, my new mom gives me a call now and then and insists that I spend my summer vacation with them. Even Parker called me once and invited me. I think I'm going to spend the summer on the island. If anything interesting happens, I'll definitely let you know.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bree. I'm 16. My mom left me when I was just a baby. I never knew her. My dad says she couldn't handle the responsibility of raising a child because she was too young. One morning, she went out to the grocery store and never came back. My grandmother raised me. My dad would visit us often, but it was my grandmother who was my real parent. The time I lived with her were the best years of my life. When I was 12, my dad remarried. His new wife had a daughter the same age. My dad took me to their house to meet them. I stayed there for one night. His new wife completely ignored me. Her daughter, Sadie, was only interested in her phone. It was pretty obvious that neither of them liked me. But I didn't care because I thought I would never have to live with them. But unfortunately, when my grandmother passed away last year, I had to move in with them. My stepmother started treating me badly from day one. She made me do all the housework. I even had to clean Sadie's room. She was incredibly mean to me. For example, during breakfast, she'd say, "Aren't you full yet? You've had enough to eat. Go take out the trash." I was really unhappy, but I didn't tell my dad about it so as not to upset him. He was working in the finance department of a big real estate developer. The finance manager transferred hundreds of thousands of dollars into his personal account. My dad didn't know anything about it, but he got arrested anyway. He didn't have the money to hire a good lawyer, so he ended up going to jail. My life wasn't going great to begin with, and when my dad went to jail, things got even worse. One day, my stepmother told me, "We're broke because of your father. You need to quit school and start working. If you want to live here, you need to bring in money." So I had to drop out of school. Of course, this rule did not apply to my stepmother's daughter. Sadie kept going to school, but I had to get a job at a call center. Since I had to deal with one stressful event after another, I got acne all over my face. I couldn't recognize myself in the mirror. The people I worked with looked at me with pity. There was this guy I liked. One day I heard him mocking me, saying, "This girl shouldn't leave the house. She has no right to make the rest of us uncomfortable." I was really devastated. I couldn't sleep that night. I cried for a long time. I wanted to go to a dermatologist, but I couldn't afford to. I was giving all the money I earned to my stepmother as soon as I got it. My acne was getting worse every day. I thought I should at least try some natural remedies. There were so many formulas for anti-acne face masks online. I picked one that used ingredients I could easily find. I just needed almond oil, apple cider vinegar, and honey. I borrowed money from a friend to buy these. That night, I made a mixture and put it on. But when I washed my face in the morning, I was disappointed to see it hadn't worked at all. My grandmother would always say, "Nature has a cure for everything." I began reading everything I could find about natural treatments for acne. For example, do you know why many formulas use apple cider vinegar? Because vinegar is very effective against bacteria and fungi. As I learned more, I started to believe I could develop my own formula. I was testing new face masks on myself all the time. Although some of them were somewhat effective, I still had acne. One day, as I was doing research, I came across some information about a plant I'd never heard of. Women in rural areas use this plant to regulate their hormones during pregnancy. I thought it could work because one of the main causes of acne is hormones. I looked all over the city and I found the dried leaves of this plant in a little shop. That evening, I prepared a new face mask using the leaves and applied it. When I woke up in the morning, I ran to the bathroom to wash my face. When I removed the mask, I was amazed. My acne was completely gone. There was someone else in the mirror. I don't usually cry much, but that morning I bawled my eyes out from happiness. Everyone at work was surprised. They asked me how I did it, but I didn't tell them my secret. I had a friend who had an acne problem like me. I had brought the mixture for her to try. I told her, "Put this on your face tonight before you go to sleep. Let's see if it works for you." Next morning, I woke up because my phone was ringing. My friend was video calling me. She was so excited. "There's not one spot left on my face. Bree, this is the magic cure. You can become a millionaire selling this stuff, and you'll deserve every penny," she said, thanking me over and over again. I had developed a plant-based formula that makes acne disappear after just one use. I thought I really could get rich. I made an Instagram account. I sent the link to my friend and asked for her opinion. She shared my Instagram account with everyone she knew. She wrote, "This worked wonders for me. Get it if you have an acne problem." That night, I made 6 sales over Instagram. The next day, I sold 13. The numbers kept growing. A month later, I was getting nearly 100 orders a day. People wanted even more, but I couldn't produce the masks fast enough. Why? Because I could only work at night so that my stepmother and Sadie wouldn't find out. During the day, I was still working at the call center. I was making a ton of money. I was hiding it all in my room because I had nowhere else to keep it. I had a teddy bear that I got from my ex as a birthday present. I took out all the stuffing and filled it with money. Then I neatly sewed it back. The money kept coming in. I bought another teddy bear. I stuffed it with money just like the other one. I kept buying more and more and ended up with 13 teddy bears in my room. I had to find another hiding place soon because having that many teddy bears didn't look normal. After a while, my worst fear came true. My stepmother called me while I was at work. I picked up the phone. "What is this money inside a teddy bear? Is that yours?" she asked. I was caught by surprise, so I said something ridiculous. My stepmother said angrily, "My friend's son had an appendectomy. Sadie saw all these teddy bears in your room. We thought we could bring one of them to the boy as a gift. While he was playing, he realized it was full of money. Whose money is this? You'll have to explain this to me tonight." I was in such a panic. I ran out of work and jumped into a cab. I was going home. If my stepmother was still at the hospital, I could move the money somewhere safe before she got back. Good plan, but where would I take it? I had an idea. There was someone I could ask for help. I called the friend who was so grateful to me for treating her acne and was thanking me every chance she got. I told her briefly about what was happening. "I'll do whatever you want. I'd be so happy to help you," she said. She paused for a moment and screamed, "I have a great idea. I have to speak with my dad right now." I was so relieved when I got home because no one was there. 15 minutes later, my friend and her dad arrived in a huge RV. We carried the teddy bears to the RV together. My friend's dad said, "Thanks to you, my daughter got her life back. We're so grateful to you." We went to an RV park all the way across the city. My friend and her dad got in a cab and went home. Yes, this was my friend's idea. I was going to live in their RV for a while. I was feeling really good about myself because from now on, I could do whatever I wanted. I got rid of my old phone so that my stepmother wouldn't be able to reach me and got a new one. I had something important I had to do. I searched online for a lawyer and found one. I met him in his office the next day. I ended up hiring him to look into my dad's case. My stepmother wouldn't tell me where my father was being detained so that I wouldn't be able to visit him. So first off, the lawyer had to find out where my dad was. Then I went and bought a whole bunch of the ingredients I used to make the acne mask. I was going to convert the RV into a small lab. Meanwhile, the lawyer called. He found out which facility my dad was kept in. "If you want to visit him, I can come and pick you up in an hour," he said. I'd missed my dad so much. The second I saw him in his prison clothes, I started crying. The lawyer left us alone. I told my dad everything. He was so sad to hear what I'd gone through. He said, "Your stepmother never comes to visit me. I was so worried about you because I had no way of knowing how you were. I'm going to divorce her as soon as I leave this place and I'll be a better father to you." And he hugged me. Then we talked to the lawyer. He said that there wasn't enough evidence to keep my father in jail. Our lawyer turned out to be really good. He quickly found many witnesses to prove that my dad was innocent. After he got out of prison, my dad and I lived in the RV for a while. I was really rich now. We bought a 3-story house. I turned the entire top floor into a lab. I hired 5, because my friend who helped me out is now working with me as well. We can now produce 800 acne masks per day. My dad took some time to get himself together and then went to meet my stepmother. She started crying, saying, "I always loved Bree so much. Bring her back home. We can be the happiest family in the world." My dad said that wasn't an option anymore and that he was going to file for divorce as soon as possible. She kept saying, "I beg you, please give me a chance. I missed you and Bree so much," lying to his face. My dad yelled, "Enough! How dumb do you think we are? You're only after Bree's money," and left her right there. My stepmother is still texting my dad several times a day, but thankfully my dad finally saw her true self.
Hi, everyone. My name is Oliver. I'm in 10th grade. This is my best friend, Seb. He transferred to our school this year. He's an introvert like me. That's why we hit it off right away. We realized that we had a lot of things in common, and for the first time in my life, I had someone I could call my best friend. Seb says it was the same for him. He never had a close friend like me before. One of the reasons why we hit it off so quickly is that we're both really into horror movies. We were both so happy to find out we had that in common. We would talk about horror movies nonstop. One Sunday, I invited him over for a movie marathon. We were going to watch three horror movies back to back. There's a bus stop near our house. Call me when you get on the bus. I'll wait for you at the bus stop, I said to him. But Seb said, don't worry about it. I'll find your place. No matter how much I insisted, he didn't want me to wait for him at the bus stop. I couldn't understand why. I would figure it out later. That day, when Seb came over, we had such a great time. When we were done with the movies, my mom called us to have dinner. Seb loved everything he ate and complimented my mom on each dish. My mom was embarrassed since she wasn't used to receiving so much praise. I thought that Seb was just being overly polite that day. But it turned out there was a heartbreaking reason why he was acting that way, which I would learn about later. As we got closer, Seb started coming to our place more often. Our routine was the same. First, we would watch a movie, then we would eat. We got used to Seb loving everything he was eating and showering my mom with compliments. Around that time, I realized something. Seb never talked about his family. He never invited me to his place either. Normally, of course, he wouldn't have to talk about his family. But now he was my best friend and he came over to our place so often that he was almost like a member of my family. And I didn't know anything about his private life. My dad is a mechanic. Seb and I went to visit his workshop a couple of times. But what did Seb's dad do? I had no idea. One morning, the bus I was taking to school broke down. I decided to walk because I was only 3 stops away. I took a shortcut to get there faster. As I was walking down an alley, I saw a gigantic SUV with tinted windows parked by the road. I'm into cars since my dad is a mechanic. I knew this brand. They made custom-designed luxury SUVs. As I was standing there and staring at the car, the front door opened. A driver wearing a suit and tie stepped out and opened the rear door. Out came Seb, looking like he was still half asleep. Our eyes met. I took one look at the SUV and then at Seb. He was pretty shocked to see me too. You caught me. Let's walk so we're not late. We can talk on the way, he said. I was totally surprised by what Seb was telling me. His father was a famous jewelry designer. They have jewelry stores in many countries. But why was he hiding the fact that his family was rich? I really wanted to know, but I couldn't ask him because he clearly didn't want to talk about it. I just said, that SUV is super cool. If I were you, I'd have the driver drop me off right in front of school. Can someone be ashamed of being rich? That made no sense to me, but Seb seemed to be ashamed. I wish my family were rich too, then I could have anything I wanted. For example, I wouldn't have to use my dad's old phone. I would throw my ancient computer straight into the trash and buy myself a brand new one. The next morning, Seb called me and said, I know I was being weird yesterday. I'm really sorry. I felt embarrassed that I hid this from you. I think now you know why I never invite you over to my house. Since my secret is out now, wanna come over and watch movies at my place this weekend? He said. Of course, I said yes. I was very curious about where he lived. On Saturday, Seb's driver came to pick me up. His house was just outside the city. Actually, I should probably say his mansion. It was gigantic. Seb was waiting for me outside. I was so excited to finally get to see the kind of mansion billionaires lived in. When we went inside, I was staring open-mouthed at everything around the house. Everything was exquisite. I felt as if I were in a movie. I couldn't believe someone this rich would be friends with me. Since he lived in such a mansion, our house must have seemed to him like a chicken coop. Seb said, "The movie is ready. We can watch it now if you want." I followed him. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the room where we would be watching the movie. It was a proper movie theater. Yes, you heard it right. There was a movie theater with a huge screen in Seb's house. At my place, we watched the movies on my computer screen. I felt ashamed when I thought about it. After the movie, we went to Seb's room. His room alone was bigger than our whole apartment. Seb asked, "What do you want to eat? Let's order something." We almost never ordered food to be delivered, so most of the time we have to eat whatever my mom makes. But Seb could eat whatever he felt like. I was so jealous of his life that I was ready to give 10 years of my own just to switch places with him. That night, Seb's driver dropped me off back home. As we were driving, something occurred to me. Seb never introduced me to his parents. Maybe they weren't home. But it was super weird that Seb never even mentioned them. We had been together all day. Not even once did he say the words mom or dad. When I went into the kitchen next morning, I saw that my dad wasn't at work. He smiled and said, "Good morning, I'm not working today. Come, let's have breakfast together." I didn't answer him. I was mad at him. Why couldn't he make more money? Why did he let his family live in such bad conditions? I felt this rage towards my father when I saw how the rich people lived. Before, I thought I didn't care about such things, but I was upset now. I felt really small compared to Seb. What surprised me was that nothing about him had changed. He was acting the same as before. One day, he asked, "Do you want to watch a zombie flick at your place this weekend? I'm really craving your mom's amazing spaghetti." I'd had enough. "Seb, you live in a mansion. You can have whatever you want." "Why would you want to hang out in my dingy apartment?" I said. Seb stared at me, surprised. "Are you serious? Is that what you really think?" he asked. I nodded. He said, "Then come over to my place this weekend. I see that there are a few things about me that you need to learn." I was really curious when I arrived at his place on Saturday. Seb took me upstairs. We went into a large bedroom. There was a woman lying in bed. There was an oxygen mask on her face. She wasn't moving at all and her eyes were closed. Seb kissed her on the cheek. Then he turned to me. "Let me introduce you to my mom. She has been in a coma for the past 8 years. These machines are keeping her alive. I've been waiting for her to wake up for 8 years. But I'm beginning to lose hope." I was very sad to hear all this. Seb went on, looking at his mom. "I would gladly give everything I have to be able to eat food my mom prepared for me. But that's not possible. Thanks to your mom, I remembered what it was like to eat food made with a mother's love, because I had completely forgotten." As Seb was speaking, a tear rolled down his cheek. "Do you know who did this to my mom? My father. Yes, my father. My parents were running the company together. A few times a year, they would go to Africa to buy diamonds from different mines. My dad found out that there was a mine in Angola that sold cheap diamonds. My mom didn't want to buy diamonds from there. To be sure the diamonds were of high quality, they had to go down into the mine and see them in their rough form. But since the mines selling cheap diamonds were being operated illegally, there was no safety inspections. Going down there was very dangerous. My dad wouldn't listen to my mom. When they went down into the mine, there was an accident and my mom was exposed to excessive levels of carbon monoxide. Unfortunately, she's been in a coma ever since. My dad rarely comes home because he feels guilty. When he does come here, he sits by her bed and cries nonstop for hours. The staff told me this since I haven't talked to him in years. The only contact I have with him is the texts he sends me on my birthday. I just delete them without answering. I didn't know what to say to Seb after he told me all this. I was really sad for him. Now I understood why he loved coming to our place. He had found a family after all these years. I had envied him for being able to order food from any restaurant he wants. But in fact, Seb would prefer a mother's cooking to anything from a restaurant. Yes, his father was a billionaire, but they weren't even in touch. He couldn't forgive him for what he had done to his mother. Seb opened up to me that day. That's how I understood there were things money couldn't buy. I realized how lucky I was to have the perfect family. Since that day, the bond between Seb and me has grown even stronger. I rarely go to his house, but he stays over at our place a few times a week. Seb used to be my best friend. Now, I think of him as my brother. Hey everyone, I'm Otis. I became a millionaire when I was still in high school, and I made all that money myself. I made a decision. I worked really hard and was able to reach my goal. But ultimately, I ended up losing all the money I made. It all happened within a year and a half. How did I manage to get rich so quickly and then lose it all just as fast? You'll find out when you hear my story. My dad died when I was little. He had worked at a paint factory for years. He had been exposed to so many chemicals that his body couldn't take it. After that, my mom had to work two jobs to support our family. On weekdays, she worked at a flower shop and on weekends at a pizzeria. My sister and I barely saw her. She'd leave before we got up and come back after we'd gone to bed. That was the only way she could manage to pay all the bills. One morning, we woke up and Mom was home. She had a fever and a bad cough. She stayed in bed for 3 weeks. We realized during that time that if Mom couldn't work, we'd literally go hungry. We didn't have any savings for situations like these. The fridge was empty within a week, and the pantry within 2 weeks. By the third week, there was nothing left to eat. My mom still wasn't feeling great, but she had to go back to work. That's when I started thinking about money. At first, it wasn't about getting rich or anything. I wondered how I could help my mom so that at least she wouldn't have to work on weekends. If you come from a poor family, you often grow up to be poor too. My grandparents had problems with money all their lives. Sadly, poverty is passed down through generations. It's not easy to break that cycle, but I was determined to do it. I got a piece of paper and wrote, "How can I make money?" I searched the internet for hours. I wrote down everything I found. Then I began to try the ideas that made sense to me. The first thing I decided to try was pretty ridiculous. I was going to pick up money that people dropped. Initially, this seemed like a great idea because I was going to go to places where people were likely to drop their money, like vending machines. Let's say you drop a coin while you're putting money into a vending machine. What do? You casually look at the floor. If you don't see the coin right away, you reach in your pocket for another one. So I started going around to vending machines after school to see if I could find any loose change. The other place I thought I could find money was restaurant drive-thrus. You have to reach your hand out of the car window to make a payment and get change. If some change drops to the floor, few people would get out of their car to pick it up. So in addition to vending machines, I also went to drive-thrus to look for money. Did I find any? Yes, but very little. It would take me 100 years to make some decent money like this. So I decided to give up on this strategy after a week. It was a bad idea to depend on finding change on the floor. I also crossed out winning the lottery, finding oil in the backyard, and suddenly inheriting money from an unknown relative from my list of potential options. I had to find more rational ways to make money. I looked through my list again. When I was researching ways to make money, I had made a section called entrepreneurship and noted some ideas. The first one was starting a YouTube channel, then starting a website, and then making a mobile game. When I saw the next one, I stopped, finding a unique product idea. Wait a second, I actually already had such an idea. In fact, when I told people about it, they all said it would totally sell. Wanna know what this great idea is? An umbrella for dogs. I started jumping with joy. I found what I was looking for. Every time I took our dog Taco out in the rain, I always wondered, why isn't there a special umbrella for dogs? Taco would always get so wet during his walk, and then he'd make a huge mess at home when we came back. A dog umbrella would solve this problem. And on top of that, dogs wouldn't get cold from being wet. My sister had a small umbrella that she used when she was younger, so I decided to use it for my first prototype. After a lot of work, I finally did it. At first, Taco didn't like it and tried to get rid of it, but I was sure he'd love it when he saw how well it worked when it rained. I was proud of it. It looked great. More importantly, it was functional. All dog owners would want to buy this. But now there was a huge obstacle ahead. How would I be able to mass produce it? Also, people had to be able to buy it in places like supermarkets and pet shops. How could I manage that? I didn't have any money, so I needed to find an investor. But who would trust a 15-year-old with their investment? And even if they did, could I trust them? What if they stole my idea? How could I protect myself? An hour ago, I was super happy, but now I was so stressed. I started thinking, I can never do this. I got my hopes up for nothing. Here was a great opportunity, but I couldn't make it work. Then I had an idea. Only someone around my age would support me. I remembered a young entrepreneur that I saw on YouTube. What do I have to lose? I'll just DM him on Instagram, I said to myself. I trusted him, so I told him a bit about my idea and asked, would you support something like this? I gave him my phone number. He called the next day. I had unbelievable challenges when I was building my business. So I try to support good ideas as much as I can. Let's meet tomorrow and talk. I think this product has a customer base, he said. Things moved really quickly after that. I had a partner now. I felt like I was in a dream. We started working immediately. We got a professional team to help us finalize the design of the umbrella. Then we found a factory that would produce it. We started advertising on social media when we got the first umbrellas. They received a lot more attention than we anticipated. Almost every dog that was out in the rain now had one of our umbrellas. I was so proud of myself, and just as I had dreamed, I was making a lot of money. I wanted to buy a house in the best neighborhood and move there with my family. I looked at houses with a real estate agent. I found a really beautiful one. I wanted to show it to my mom before buying it, but my mom said she didn't want to move. I can't change my life so quickly. Plus, we lived here with your dad for many years. I don't want to leave our memories behind, she said. I was so surprised. I insisted, but she wouldn't change her mind. If you want, you can live in that house. It's your right. Your sister can come and stay with you from time to time. But I have a condition. Don't drop out of school. I want you to at least graduate high school, she said. I went to the office the next day. I told my partner I was going to buy a house. He said, don't do it. He had just partnered with a new venture that was trading cryptocurrencies. Rent the house instead of buying it. You should invest that money in Bitcoin. You'll make enough money to buy 3 houses next year, he said. I trusted him, so I followed his advice. I wanted to support his new firm anyways. So I invested all my money in cryptocurrency, or Bitcoin to be precise. Our umbrellas were selling like hotcakes. I still couldn't believe how quickly my dreams had come true. But I didn't handle getting rich so quickly very well. I was still just a kid. I spent so much money on stuff I didn't need. For example, once I saw an Iron Man costume online that was the same as the one used in the movie. I didn't even look at the price and just bought it. Now I realize that costume cost as much as a luxury car. By the way, I did have 3 amazing sports cars, but I was too young to have a license, so I couldn't even drive them. That was another weird thing that I did. 3 or 4 months went by. One day, my partner called me in for a meeting. He said our sales were falling very quickly. The dog umbrella was easy to imitate, so we had a lot of competition now. Business was great when ours was the only one on the market, but not anymore. If we didn't do something, we'd go bankrupt. We immediately came up with new product ideas. For example, we made a raincoat for dogs, but it didn't sell. I really thought it would. We had thousands of raincoats that we couldn't sell, so we lost a lot of money. Around the same time that the umbrella sales plummeted, the worst thing happened. Bitcoin, which I had invested all my money in, lost a lot of value overnight. My partner said, "Don't worry, it'll go back up again." But it didn't. I lost all my money. I couldn't even pay my rent. I sold the cars and whatever I had in the house. That money lasted only 3 to 4 months. Normally, that money should have lasted me 3 or 4 years, but I had gotten used to spending a lot and couldn't stop even when I didn't have the same income anymore. When I ran out of money, I moved back to my mom's house. I only had the Iron Man costume with me because I couldn't find anyone to buy it. My mom said, "Welcome home," and hugged me. I'd been sending her money every month. It turned out that she saved it all because she kept on working. "This money is for college for you and your sister. You proved yourself once. When you finish school, I'm sure you'll be successful again. In fact, you'll be even more successful because you'll have learned from your mistakes, she said, making me feel better. You might find it weird, but I wasn't so sad after losing all my money. Now I understand why. My life had changed so quickly. When I was rich, it all felt like a dream. So when I lost it all, it still felt like it was a dream. Since it was all like a dream, it didn't make sense to be upset.
Hi everyone, I'm Ethan. The day I graduated high school, my dad told me he needed to talk to me. He said, "Are you planning to keep living in this house?" I told him I had nowhere else to go. "I've been taking care of you for years. You need to start working if you want to stay in this house. You either start bringing in some money or find yourself another place to live." I graduated from high school with a high GPA. I wanted to go to college to be able to get a good job later. My family is not doing well financially. I obviously know this, so I was thinking, I'll get a part-time job, and I won't be a burden to them. But working part-time meant I could only cover my own expenses. There was no way I could bring in enough money to make my dad happy. So I had to drop out of college. A friend's father owned a moving company. I started working there. They specialized in moving furniture from luxury homes. All of our clients were rich families. Since the furniture was really valuable, we were packing and carrying it very carefully. It was a really stressful job. I had to be super careful all the time. If I were to cause the slightest damage, I would have to work for months without pay. Like my mom, I was giving all the money I was making to my dad. But our financial situation had not changed. We could never pay the rent on time. It was all my dad's fault. He was spending a lot of money on himself. As soon as I started working, he bought himself a better car. My mom had been complaining about him blowing through money for years. But my dad would just get angry. We couldn't say anything because we were scared of him. One day, we were helping a wealthy client move as usual. The lady who owned the house called me over. We went down to the basement together. She showed me a few pieces of furniture. "Pack these up and take them to the truck. The rest is garbage. You can put it all in the trash," she said. First, I carried the items the lady showed me to the truck. Then I started filling up a big bag with the things I was supposed to discard. I came across a roll of paper. Just as I was about to throw it out, I got curious and unrolled it. It was a charcoal drawing. It was simple, but very pretty. I couldn't just throw it away. I went up to the lady. "This is beautiful. Do you really want us to throw it out?" I said. She took a look at the drawing. "My grandfather loved art. It must be his. You're right. Throwing it away would be disrespectful to his memory," she said. She rolled up the drawing and put it in her bag. My phone rang while I was at another house a few weeks later. It was my boss. "A client wants to see you. She's in our office now. Can you come over?" he said. I was really scared. Was something lost during a move? Or did we damage some furniture? I thought about all the bad things that could have happened until I got to the office. I stepped into the boss's office. The lady who'd been waiting for me got up with a big smile on her face. "You remember that drawing you brought me instead of throwing it away? It turned out to be a portrait of my grandfather, and it was made by Picasso. They met in a bar in Madrid. Picasso really liked my grandfather and wanted to give him a gift. He asked the waiter for a pen and paper and drew his portrait. We obviously didn't want to sell it because of its sentimental value. However, my husband and I decided to give you a small reward. If it hadn't been for you, this drawing would have ended up in the trash," she said. Then she handed me an envelope. I looked at my boss. "I'm proud of you, Ethan," he said with a smile. I was a little embarrassed but took the envelope from her. I left the office and sat on a bench outside. I wanted to know what was inside the envelope. I opened it. There was a check. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the amount on it. It was almost 5 times my annual salary. I thought of my dad right away. And of course, my joy quickly turned into sadness. If I gave this money to him, he would spend it all on himself and not on our family. Both my mom and I had been stunned when we saw a gold chain around his neck one day. It was preposterous of him to spend money on something like that when we were having trouble paying our bills. Put yourself in my shoes. If you had such a father and came into some money, would you give it to him? One of my best friends, Travis, is studying economics in college. I gave him a call. I told him I had some money and asked him how to invest it. He's smart as a whip. You called me at the right time. I've been trading tech stocks for a while. It's going really well. If you want, I can do that for you as well, but I have to tell you, it's quite risky. There's no middle ground in the stock market. You either lose big or win big, he said. I trusted him. And anyway, that money had fallen into my lap. I'm gonna give you half. The rest will be enough for me to live on, I told him. But unfortunately, things didn't go as well as Travis expected. He quickly burned through the money I gave him. He kept calling me to apologize. I didn't even understand why we were losing because I didn't know the first thing about the stock market. But as I said, I trusted Travis. I gave him the rest of my money as well. I got this money because I was lucky. Something tells me I will get lucky again, I said. It turns out I was right. This time, Travis was constantly calling me to give me good news. We were both rich. You know what's really weird? I was getting cash from Travis since I didn't even have a bank account. But where would I keep all that cash? I thought about it for a while and finally decided to hide it in cardboard boxes in our attic. When I'd fill up a box, I'd get another one. My dad would totally lose it if he found out. Our attic was stuffed with money. So much so that I didn't even know how much money I had. One night, I decided to count all of it. It took me until the morning. As the sun came up, I realized I was a millionaire, and this was only a fraction of my total wealth. I quit my job the next day. I told my boss I had decided to go to college. But it wasn't true. I had begun to think I didn't even need a college education anymore. Every morning, I'd leave the house as if I were going to work and hang out with Travis or in a coffee shop. In the evening, I'd come back home as if returning from work. After a while, I bought myself a car just because the attic was too full and I had to get rid of some cash. I actually don't like sports cars very much, but I picked one of the most expensive sports cars so that I could make some room in the attic. There were still a lot of boxes. I bought a huge house to get rid of even more money and make space in the attic. And now I had a place to go during the day as well. You might be wondering why I didn't leave home, why I still continued to live with my family this whole time. I didn't want to leave my mom and my sister alone with my dad. I was sure he was going to treat them worse once I was gone. One evening, my dad said, "Call your mother and sister. I want to talk to all of you." A few minutes later, we were all standing in front of him. "I quit my job today. I've been working for years to keep this family going. I took care of you, but I'm tired now. From now on, I'm not gonna work. You're gonna look after me," he said with a smirk. Then he turned to my sister. "Sheila, you're quitting school too. The free ride you've been getting in this house is over. Everyone has to bring in money," he said. Sheila burst into tears straight away. My mom couldn't keep silent. "I've been working for years just like you. This is all nonsense. Won't you feel any shame loafing around the house while we toil away?" she screamed. When my dad started getting mad and charging towards my mom, I took her by the arm and led her outside. "Mom, don't be upset. I'll save both of you from this man. Give me some time," I said. My mom thanked me, thinking that I was saying these things just to comfort her. After everyone was asleep, I went up into the attic. I took a few photos when the place was filled to the brim with money. Then I spent all night moving the money to my new house. Actually, I should have done this earlier. I kept putting it off, thinking there was no rush. I came back the next morning. I parked my car in front of the house. I honked the horn. First, my mom and sister came out, then my dad. All three of them were staring at me and at the car. I asked my dad, "Do you know whose car this is?" "How should I know? I guess it's your boss's," he said. "No, Dad, this car is mine. I bought it with my own money," I said. My dad couldn't say anything. He was literally speechless. That morning, I'd gone to a print shop and had them print out the photo I took of the attic in poster size. I showed it to my dad. "Does this place look familiar to you?" I asked. Dad stuttered, "Is that our attic? Whose money is that?" "Just like this car, I earned all that myself," I said. My dad was stunned. "I'm your father. That money is mine, too, he yelled. I started to laugh as he turned to walk back to the house. He thought the money was still in the attic. The attic is empty now. I moved all of it to my own house last night, I said. As a last resort, my dad started buttering me up. You're my favorite child. I've always been good to you. I'm sure you love me too, that kind of thing. But we both knew none of this was true. It's been 4 months since this happened. Right now, I live with my mom and my sister. My dad calls one of us every single day. Of course, no one answers. To me, he texts, "My dearest son, I love you so much. I miss you a lot." To my sister, he writes, "My beautiful princess, you got me wrong. I'm gonna send you to college." He can't find us since he doesn't know where we live. I'm sure he is really mad at us, but he hides it well, because all he can think about is the money he saw in that photo. He is so naive to think that he could fool me with his fake words of love. I'm so happy I left him without a penny and got out of that house after all he's done to us. I think he more than deserves it.